Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Calling this the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and well, hey, you know, since it is Friday,
start spreading the news.
We all know what that means. Schomburg Stu is here. Hi, Stu.
Hey, real music. Good to hear that real
music
again.
So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu and I, or maybe just Stu, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter at Burke Time, but we're still waiting to get Stu on there. You know, like I said, we're giving ourselves to the end of the year, so it's closing in on us, but we'll get there. Feel free to just, you know, hit me up on Twitter, and I will pass anything along that you have for Stu. So there you go. We're up and running. So, yeah, I realized something incredibly humorous about preseason football last night. You know, the Bears didn't play, but they did have the Raiders and the Cardinals on the good old Mickey Mouse Network. And my Twitter feed just kind of blew up with how great Mike Glennon was playing for the Raiders. And I was just kind of like, well, A, it's Mike Glennon who couldn't hang on to the starting job with the Bears, and B, it's Mike Glennon. So I still get kind of baffled when it you know, they get all excited about this. I mean, you know, my guess is he's probably going to get cut because Derek Carr is the starter and John Gruden loves this Nathan Peterman. And I was just kind of baffled. I don't get this. I mean, it's the second week of the preseason and Raider fans are excited about the way a backup quarterback played.
Yeah, I saw the stats that he had. Very impressive. Then you think about it, it's the second game of preseason. So what does it mean? Absolutely nothing.
So yeah, I was just completely kind of baffled listening to them. And you know, what was really funny is when it really took off was he threw like a 53-yard touchdown pass. 53 or maybe it was 59. You know, one of the two, but it was just kind of, oh, okay, it was 53. I was actually right the first time. But yeah, he was, you know, he was 11 of 14 for 175 yards and threw two touchdowns. Oddly, Nathan Peterman went 8 for 8, and Derek Carr actually completed both the passes he threw. So yeah, I just didn't kind of get it. I was like, okay, this is way too weird for me, and I ended up turning the game off just because I couldn't deal with it. I was like, no, I got to get away from this. I was like, please.
I wonder why they're focusing on him, and when Peterman also had a good day too. So
yeah,
I don't see the,
I
understand it.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, Peterman has a lot of the problem where he is kind of roundly hated because of his experience in Buffalo. You know, he was really bad.
Well, I think that. Yeah, Oakland's going to have their problems this season anyway, so maybe a little hype will help the fan base a little bit, but I doubt it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, oddly, coming out of that game, what I'm not really more surprised about is the fact that nobody talked about the fact that Kyler Murray was 3 for 8. that might be something you want to kind of start looking at. I mean, granted, he's not getting a ton of playing time, but you'd like to see him be a little more accurate. I know he did run, but just one time for 4 yards, and he took a couple sacks, which is something he never really did in college. So, I'm not quite sure he's going to be the breakout rookie star that a lot of people seem to think he's going to be right out of the gate. I'm not sure. These NFL defenses are tough. They're faster. They're stronger. So, he may have a little bit of growing pain.
Yeah, I always reserve my judgment on these guys until I see what they do in the third game of the preseason. Then if they have another poor performance, I could say, well, maybe he's not as good as the hype.
Yeah, now tonight, we'll get to watch the Bears. They're in good old New Jersey, which is still so weird to me to take on the Giants. I haven't heard. My guess is Mitchell Trubisky plays a series or two at the most. I wouldn't expect him to play any more than that. If you're not local here, the game is on the NFL Network, which I no longer get thanks to good old AT&T UVerse. So that's really exciting, but I should be able to find the local broadcast somewhere to watch.
I believe it's on Fox tonight, so you shouldn't have any trouble watching that game.
Yeah, I figure out, I'll watch, like most people do in preseason, watch the starters, and then as soon as the starters come out, you go away from the game. So.
You think Trubisky will throw a pass tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. You can always kind of wonder. So, what the issue might be, but I guess we'll see. I would like to hope he would, and they would just a little more of the offense, but you know how Matt Nagy likes to hide that stuff.
And really, I can't blame him for that. I really can't blame him for that. And I have seen a lot of first-string quarterbacks get injured, seriously injured in preseason, and we don't want that to happen.
No, especially because I'm not even sure who. I think the backup is still Chase Daniels, and there's no real need for him to be playing at all.
Well, Chase is doing pretty well for himself financially for being a backup quarterback, so I think he's a
backup. Some of those guys can they can do that.
Yeah, he's been a backup for years now, and 7-8 years would you say? And he's making a lot of money for doing that.
Oh yeah, he's you need guys like that. A guy who can come in and just kind of handle the offense when something happens. Remember, Steve Fuller made a career out of that.
Yeah,
very long time ago now. So, let's see. Yeah, Chase Daniels is actually headed into his 10th year. So.
He must be good enough, though. He must be pretty well highly thought of. Because to stay in the league for 10 years as a backup quarterback is pretty impressive. So he must have enough skills to warrant being the backup in case the starting quarterback is injured.
Yeah, he's been on some high-powered offenses. He was drafted by New Orleans. He spent 3 years there. Then it was 3 years in Kansas City. Then to Philadelphia for a year, back to New Orleans, and now he's headed into his second season with the Bears. So
he did squeak by in a couple of games last year when Trubisky was hurt, but I wouldn't say I was awestruck by his performance.
No, he was 1-1 in the two games he started here. He did end up getting into 5 games. As a career, he's only made 4 career starts and he's 2-2 in those starts. But he's thrown 154 career passes. you know, in the NFL today, guys do that in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his average QB rating is, but I think he might be in the 90 range as a general rule, which is, isn't too bad.
For his career, he's 85-8. So
that's pretty close, actually. It's not too bad for a guesstimate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, nice little backup guy to have hanging around there. So.
Yeah, he won't embarrass you when he's out there, like some of the Bears' awful quarterback backups they've had over the years.
You know, in the hope that, you know, like every other team has, you hope that he never sees the field unless it's a blowout and, you know.
Yeah, like the last 4 or 5 minutes of a game when the sire got ready.
You know, so, yeah, well, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I think there are a couple other games tonight for, you know, the fans of the other teams. Yeah, we've got Buffalo is at Carolina, and you got Miami at Tampa Bay. So, you know, we'll see how anything goes there.
Is Aaron Rodgers hurt, by the way? I thought I read something about these. He's been dealing with some kind of an injury.
You know, I thought I saw something, but they didn't have a clear deal yet about it. Let's see if I can use Dan's favorite website and Bing it real quick. If my internet will cooperate, maybe we can find something out. So. All right, let's see what we get here. It says he left the game on Sunday after taking, oh, no, that's last year's. Okay, way to be updated, guys. So, no, what it looks like he did is he's giving advice to Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. It says gives injury-preventing advice to Lamar Jackson. So it's not that he was hurt. He was just talking about being hurt.
Being conservative about right, and yeah, he's a pretty tough player. Actually, I think he's played hurt more often than not. And he stays in there. He hangs in tough. So I gotta give him credit for that.
They do mention that they held him out of last night's preseason game. Obviously, no big deal. It's the second one. He had some back tightness while he was trying to warm up, so they just played it safe and. You know, kept him out of the game, but you know, like it's like we said, it's week two of the preseason, so whoopee.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. The third game is always to me the most interesting of the preseason games.
Yeah.
But then you anticipate the starters playing at least the first half of the game.
Yeah, at least you hope. You know, I know a lot of teams will even sometimes try to take them and, you know, come back after halftime, which I think is, you know, always a good thing to do. Let them kind of see what that's like for the first time.
Yeah, and some of the, of course, the quarterbacks are protected so much more now than they were years ago that you might take the chance to give them maybe even 3 quarters in the third game of the preseason.
So, yeah, and I know, you know, there have some, you know, have been some, you know, season-ending injuries already, but it looks like it's all defensive guys. You know, I saw the Chargers lost a starting safety and the Jets lost, I believe it was a linebacker. So, you know, the injuries are slowly but surely kind of popping up, but so far it all seems to be defensive guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
both the Cardinals lost cornerbacks to serious injuries. So,
yeah, no matter how much you try to prevent those things from happening in a contact sport like football, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. You just try to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, it's tough. I know, you know, they talk about it, you know, and that was a lot of the you know, the big deal with Antonio Brown's helmet, who, by the way, didn't play last night, you know, was just the fact that it was a safety issue more than it was anything.
You know, he did lose his grievance, by the way. You saw that, right?
Lost his grievance and did not retire like he threatened to do. What a surprise
His latest public relations stunt is to ask the fans to figure out a way to get the helmet, the new helmet, to his satisfaction so he can play a better game of football.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard he mentioned that he found an older helmet that he likes that'll qualify. You know, obviously the big issue with this helmet was the fact that it was 10 years old and it was no longer up to NFL safety standards.
Right, that's correct.
I was so confused on why he didn't understand that and, you know, why he made such a big deal out of it. It seemed more like a publicity stunt than anything else to me.
Yeah, you can construe it as that for sure, and I can't figure out why he would do that. And even the threat of retiring is ridiculous. You know, he's not going to turn down that kind of money because of a helmet issue.
Yeah, that was just the dumbest of dumb things to say. But obviously, you know, that's one of the things he's known for is. The as they call it, the diva-like behavior.
Yeah.
So.
Well, doesn't he have a new 3-year deal? I know he has a new contract.
Yeah. Yeah. He got paid to the Raiders. He got a new 3-year deal with a bunch of guaranteed money. So.
Yeah.
You know, that was the other reason I knew he wasn't higher and he wasn't giving any of that money back. So, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, keep shooting your mouth off.
Yeah, what these guys would kind of. To stop doing that and just play football and stop being a diva. We can do without the divas in football.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's so weird because it seems to be the wide receiver position that just produces these guys over and over. And I just don't know how.
Yeah, you wonder why that would. Position would be prone to that kind of activity from some of these players, but there's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of them in the last few years that certainly qualify.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it would be the quarterback or maybe the running back before the wide receiver, but no, it's always those guys. You know, just going back, I mean, actually, you don't have to go back. You just look now. Besides Brown, you know, you got Odell Beckham, Jr., who is just, nuts when it comes to that stuff. And I get it. They're great football players, but I don't understand the behavior.
Yeah, you wonder sometimes how these guys do that, why they do that.
You know. That and why, you know, some offensive lineman hasn't locked them in a room and just said, hey, look, idiots, this is how we're going to do it. So.
Yeah, you'd think that they would get a talking to from someone who's been around a while and doesn't want to take that BS anymore.
But, all right, well, that's enough football garbage. It's not quite time to delve too much into that until I do a fantasy draft at least, you know. But I have to tell you, I'm under the impression that the MLB Network has been waiting the entire season for Bryce Harper to do something so they could talk about it relentlessly like it's never happened before in the game of baseball. So, sadly, as you know, he hit the walk-off grand slam against the Cubs last night. They will not shut up about it. I turned on, they have a show on when I get home from work at 9:00 called MLB Central. No surprise they opened with it. It was the very first thing they talked about baseball-wise. Then they went to their morning highlight package. That, of course, was the first highlight they showed. Then they talked about a couple other games. Then they went back to it. And I believe they talked about it two more times while I was still awake. So they referenced it 4 or 5 times in what would be considered the A block of their show. So yeah, I'm just to the point where they've been sitting on this all year waiting for it, and it's like, really, you know, not like this hasn't happened before. Yeah.
Well, you know that he's one of the players they like to talk about, especially when he does something like what he did last night. And despite the fact that his stats aren't all that great, and he's one of the top strikeout guys in the majors, he's got a lot of potential, a lot of power. Unfortunately, he proved it last night against the Cubs' depleted bullpen. But he is one of the players that they will concentrate on, along with Trout and a handful of others, and some teams, of course, like the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, they're always going to be talking about those teams.
So yeah, I just, you know, it got to the point where it was just a joke to me, and I was like, really. You know, give me a break here. It's not like, you know, not like this hasn't, you know, we haven't seen a guy hit a walk-off grand slam before.
Yeah.
You know, well, not even check it.
The Cubs hit it twice last year.
Yeah.
Listen, on the plus side, though, the Cubs only paid $1 to get Talon, so maybe it wasn't a bad deal, right?
Yeah, it's still ridiculous that, you know, you know, a left-handed pitcher should be able to get left-handed hitters out in those kind of situations. But, you know,
so.
Again,
you
know,
so.
You know, I started talking about this as, you know, as soon as the off season happened. What was the Cubs' weakness? The bullpen. They did absolutely nothing to address it, you know, until they finally decided to throw Kimbrel. You know, they tried with Brad Brock. He just wasn't very good. They ended up getting rid of him. You know, as we know how the Cubs go, there's absolutely nothing in their minor league system to help them. You know, pitching-wise, they have zero clue on how to develop pitchers. So, you know, sadly, this is what you get. I think the biggest positive I saw is, I believe, Brandon, what is it, Kitzler was activated from the IL.
Right, and he's been pretty good this year, a lot better than the rest of the bullpen for the most part.
So, we get the Cubs get him. They're recalling Addison Russell. James Norwood is going down, and the other scapegoat on the team, Albert Almora, will get a free trip to Iowa for a few weeks, but probably before he comes back up in September. So they just basically swap one scapegoat for another.
That's the first I've heard about that. So Almora is officially sent down to Iowa?
Yep. Yeah, Kinsler's off the IL. Addison Russell is called up, and Almora and James Norwood were the two guys optioned to make room for them. So,
and it's so surprising. Well, of course, they need a second baseman. Hamp's not the answer. He could have cost them the game last night. There were two infield hits, that Russell probably would have handled in the ninth inning yesterday. And you don't give a team with the power that Philadelphia has three opportunities to get hits. Of course, Bodie booted a ground ball in, and I'm sure Russell would have got at least one of those ground balls that Hap couldn't get to, those two infield hits. So maybe that's why they're bringing Russell up.
You know, and sadly, if you just listen to the podcast here, Dan and I would have told you that when they sent Russell down. You know, he's legitimately a gold glove caliber defender. He wasn't hitting poorly. He wasn't hitting great, but he wasn't hitting poorly. But, you know, again, it's okay, you know, when you bring Aroldis Chapman in, who's got a domestic violence grievance because he did it while he was with another team. If your guy does it, let's treat him like a pariah. So, you know, which is, I can't say a huge surprise with the way the Cubs handle things, but
I'm not sure
they
sent him down because of further punishment of domestic. I think he was just playing poorly. And when they sent him down, didn't he make quite a few errors in one game? And they decided to send him down to Iowa.
Yeah, you know, he had one bad game. Let me see if I can find it here. Where is he? Where's these great numbers here? There we go. Daniel Descalzo's hitting a .181. All right,
yeah,
he got to stay. So.
Well, he's on the injured list. Isn't he still on the injured list?
Oh, he is. He wasn't when Russell went down.
No.
So, you know, I mean, why wasn't he designated for assignment? There's no reason to be carrying this guy. You know, I think the only reason they kept him is because he got another year on his contract. So we'll get him next year. You know, started off hot. Once the league figured him out, he's a .220 hitter.
Yeah, exactly right. And are you surprised that Amaro was sent down?
No, he's been a scapegoat on this team for a long time. You know, Joe Madden doesn't like him. It's a surprise that he plays at all. So, you know, and now with getting Castellanos, you know, it'll be Hayward in center, Schwarber in left, and Castellanos in right for the majority of the time. You know, Hop can play a little outfield. I think they're still carrying Tony Kemp on the roster. He can play all the outfield positions. We know Bryant can play right and left if he has to. So it's not a surprise that it was Almora.
And he did have some defensive miscues that he normally doesn't have. I think it was last week. He blew a couple of he had an error and he missed a ball bounced off his glove that he normally would handle, but he has not hit very well against left-handers this year, which is maybe one of the main reasons they sent him down. And he usually hits left-handers very well, but I think his average is way, way down against them this season for some reason.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he is hitting, you know, this is, the last couple of years he's been good. He is hitting, you know, just .243 this year, but his power numbers went up. You know, he's in double-digit home runs, which they complained about before was he wouldn't hit enough home runs. So he basically traded home runs for average, and it bought him a trip to the minors. So there's some quality sabermetric dealings at work there.
Yeah, he certainly has flailed quite a bit at the plate. He has been a disappointment at the plate this year. Although .240 by today's standards is not all that bad.
No, because don't forget, Kyle Schwarber's hitting .229. He plays every day. So, you know, Almora is just really a part-time guy.
I'm quite surprised that Schwarber's averages remained about .229 because he's been pretty hot lately. He's been getting hits every game and a lot of long balls, and I expect to see his average up to .240 by now, but it just stays the same every week after week after week. He's sitting around .225, .230.
Yeah, you know, but hey, that's, I guess, how it goes, right? Let's see what we got here. He was 1-for-5 last night, and then before that he went 8 straight appearances without a hit. So he's 1-for-his-last-13.
So he hasn't had a good road trip so far.
No. Well, you know, that just kind of fits in with what the team does because they're just pathetic on the road. But
and Baez has been very bad on the road, too, for this trip.
So, you know, well, they've all been bad. They got swept by – didn't they get swept by the Phillies? I mean, that means they're all bad. It doesn't matter who did what. So.
Yeah, the odd thing about getting swept by the Phillies is that Phillies have been playing poor baseball lately and have been really struggling. And then they come along and sweep the Cubs.
So, yeah, they didn't hit for weeks till the Cubs came to town. You know, and they didn't, the Cole Hamels, they didn't exactly beat up a starter, but, you know, they took it out on the bullpen.
Yeah, they sure did. And, of course, maybe that's because they have a new hitting coach.
Yeah. So.
They're oddly enough, their former manager, which is kind of strange.
So, yeah, and then I'm seeing now that, you know, without this trade deadline, we're getting a whole lot more guys being designated for assignment than we used to. You know, like I saw the A's designated that Dustin Garneau, who's bounced around a little bit. The Braves had to designate Wes Parsons, one of their right-handed pitchers, to make room for on their roster. The Marlins designated Devin Marrero. He's an infielder to make room for Neil Walker. The biggest name so far, Billy Hamilton, got designated by the Royals. So.
And that's a pretty big name to be DFA, and he's never been a great hitter, but he's a good fielder, and he's a good speedster on the bases too. I'm kind of surprised at that. When a player is DFA'd, how long does the team have before they say where he's going?
Well, it used to be you had 10 days to either trade or release the player. You know, I believe now, since there's no trade deadline, you know, since he can't be traded, I believe it's just you have 10 days to either let that player accept a minor league assignment, or he's free to sign with somebody else.
Yeah, as you pointed out, that's an interesting way to go around the new ruling that regarding the trading. Because maybe if they do it with the intent that they figure someone's going to pick this guy up rather than actually assigning him to their AAA affiliate, for example.
Yeah, you know, so that just kind of seems to be, it seems to be the new thing. And I know, the Braves made a few other moves. Surprisingly, they optioned Johan Camargo and Adam Duvall to their minor league system. Both guys had been pretty big contributors. You know, Camargo is their what you would call super utility guy. And I know Duvall hit some big home runs filling in for Nick Markakis. So I'm a little surprised that, these were the guys here. Let's see. Well, Camargo was scuffled a little bit. He was hitting just .222, but Duvall was hitting .250 with 5 home runs in just 19 games.
Yeah, I could see the first name being DFA, but not Duvall. He seems like a valuable addition to the team, but it looked like the Braves have a good team. If there anybody can beat the Dodgers in the playoffs in the National League, I think it's going to be Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, well, the odd thing about sending Camargo down right now is, their starting shortstop is, Dansby Swanson is still on the IL. So, you would have kind of figured Camargo was filling in for him while he tried to recover. I know they did sign that Aiden Echeverria, who, he's a fantastic defender, but he was hitting a whopping .204 with the Mets before they DFA'd him this year. So, maybe they're just going to go with the defensive guy until Swanson returns.
And when is he scheduled to return?
Let me see if they have anything on him here. I think he'd be getting close. No, not quite yet. He's expected to return in the early part of September. So,
well, that's a long time. Who are they going to put his shortstop in the meantime then?
That's my guess is it's got to be Echeverria. He's got to be the guy to make the move there, looking at their roster. I mean, I know they have Charlie Culberson, who plays really well for them, but I'm not sure if, he can handle short from time to time, but I don't know if he can be an everyday shortstop. So maybe they're going to go that route, I guess.
I guess they're pretty secure in the lead they have in their division, that they figure they can do piecemeal kind of work at shortstop until the regular returns in early September.
I guess that's I guess that's their plan for, what they're going to do. I mean, maybe Culberson gets the starts and then Echeverria comes off the bench to play defense at the end of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, put them in the seventh, eighth innings, if they're, especially if they're winning.
Because, yeah, I don't know what. You know, I mean, I think it would make sense, but I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see anybody launching any kind of a there's really no one that I could see in the East that can really overtake Atlanta now. Although their lead is what, about only about 5-6 games?
Yeah, well, I checked here. They do have Echeverria starting at shortstop tonight. So we'll see. Yeah, it looks like they're 4 games up in the loss column on the Nationals and actually 7 up in the win column. So they have a pretty comfortable lead. I don't see anybody, you know, being able to catch them from where they are, unless they, you know, it would take a horrible slump by them to, you know, have something like that happen.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that Washington made a nice move, though, the last month and a half. They've been playing really good baseball to move into second place.
Yeah, the Braves are up 5.5 on the Nationals right now, so.
Well, the important thing, of course, the loss column.
Yeah.
They're only four up in the loss column.
Yeah, Washington is hanging on to one of the wild card spots, so you know maybe they'll get in that way. But you know, both teams have been playing pretty good. Washington's got on a 4-game winning streak. The Braves did lose last night, but they're 6-4 in their last 10. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if who's going to qualify as the two wild cards. In the National League this season. That's really up for grabs right now.
So, yeah, and then, you know, really bad news for the Padres. Their big-time rookie, Fernando Tatis Jr., it's being reported he is expected to miss the rest of the season. He's dealing with a back issue. I actually heard today that they believe there's a fracture in one of the vertebrae. I don't know if that's been official yet, but you know, he was having a really good year. He was hitting .317 with 22 homers, 3 RBIs. He had 16 stolen bases. So, you know, he was definitely a rookie, an NL Rookie of the Year contender. But yeah, it looks like that's done. You know, with
the
Padres where they are.
To shut him down. Yeah, they wouldn't be smart to shut him down, though, because the Padres aren't going to be in the playoffs, and you might as well have a promising rookie like that heal completely. Because I don't know what the time is, how long it takes, how many months to heal a fracture in your back.
Yeah, and, you know, that is, if that's what that is, I believe, you know, like here they're just calling it back issues. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, how things kind of how kind of go, and you know where it, what do you want to call it, extends from here.
Yeah, well, I think they're smart to do what they're doing, because those could be a lingering issue. You know, it couldn't be, it's not a real serious type situation, but those lingering back issues can really affect the player's performance.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and that's, you know, that's the big thing. I mean, obviously, you know, he's all of, you know, 20 or 22. So, you know, it's better for them to just shut him down, let him get healthy. I mean, they're not going anywhere. So
if they were in contention for a wild card spot, what do you think they would do? Do you think they'd let him play through it?
You know, I don't know if he could play through it, especially being a shortstop. So, you know, I mean, if you were, I don't know, maybe a first baseman or something, you know, it could be possible. But, you know, in a, you know, a situation like this, I just don't see it. You know, I don't even know if he could, you know, say, well, you know, let him move over to third. I don't even know if that would work.
It probably wouldn't. It probably wouldn't. And but they have not officially said that there's a fracture.
No, they haven't. You know, there were reports early. Yeah, but what I'm looking at now is, you know, like here it says is dealing with a back issue that drove him to the injury list earlier today and is evidently more serious than had originally been hoped. So.
Yeah, they're not saying what it is, but it could be
It
could be significant enough, and it could be a fracture, just severe enough to keep him out for the rest of the season, which, based on where they are right now in the standings, is a smart thing to do.
Yeah, it makes the most sense for them to just, you know, shut him down, let him get healthy, and you know, take it from there. You know, no reason to, to let him try to play through it or try to rush anything. It's just, it's better this way. So
definitely better this way. And the Padres, they've been kind of around the 500 mark this season. Or are they below?
You know, they were early on, and then they were a wild card contender for a while. I think right around the All-Star break. And then they just kind of hit the skids, I guess is the best way to look at it. And, you know, now they're 56 and 64. They are ahead of Colorado in the division, but that's it. So.
Yeah, that division has been settled for since virtually the beginning of the season.
You know, but, you know, I mean, on the plus side, I mean, you know, they have what looks to be some really good younger talent, you know, to kind of mix in with, you know, the Eric Hosmers and the Manny Machados. So, you know, we'll see if they're still headed in the right direction. You know, they came out on the really good end of that Trevor Bauer deal. You know, they ended up with all the prospects. I think they ended up with three prospects.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I don't think that San Diego's market is such that would give them great attendance if they were mediocre. And I'm not even sure how good they would draw if they were a legitimate wild card contender either.
You know, I mean, they're sitting on a bunch of young starting pitching, so you know, a lot is going to depend on, you know, if it works out or if it doesn't work out, you know, and with pitching, you know, you just never know. So.
Yeah, that's, as we always say, it's great to have a good team that could hit for average and power, but pitching and defense will give you championships every time.
You know what I mean? You know, they're at the point, you know, they're very much, you know, equal to where the White Sox are. You know, they both teams need that big ace number one starter at the top of the rotation. You know, I think the White Sox guys like Giolito and Lopez have looked a lot better than the guys the Padres have. I know Chris Paddock has been really good, but they're shutting him down because he's only 23 and he's at 110 innings. So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how you do things in baseball now. But they, you know, they're going to have to go out and find, you know, be it the Madison Bumgarner or if there's another big-time ace that falls out on the market.
Yeah, you would think they would be searching in that direction at the end of the season for sure.
You know, or use some of their prospects to go get one. So.
Yeah, it's good to have that stockpile in your minor league system.
So, yeah, you know, that'll be kind of an, you know, that'll be kind of the interesting thing in the off season is to see who, you know, who or what teams think they're, you know, a little more ready there and are going to go out and try to maybe, you know, add that big guy, You know, because not only is there Bumgarner, you know, Garrett Cole is hanging out around there. Other than that, I don't think there's too many. You know, Dallas Keuchel will be back out on the free agent market. So, you know, you'll have like those big three huge guys. You know, maybe you're buying Hyunjin Ryu, who's having a fantastic year this year, but never really put it together. I don't know. If you're Steven Strasburg, do you opt out?
That's a good question.
You know, he's got 4 years and $100 million left. Does he walk away from it? Would he do better?
I would think he should stay put. And I'm not sure if other teams would be inclined to get him because he does have a history of being injury prone. He's had a lot of injuries over the years.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, other than that, you know, the other names, I mean, like, you know, Zach Wheeler will be out there. I know he was really popular around the trade deadline. I kind of have the feeling the Cardinals will let Michael Wacha go because while he is 28, he's never really materialized into that ace that they thought he was going to be. You know, Jake Odorizzi's been a really good pitcher for the Twins, but I don't know if I would call him an ace. So...
yeah, it's not that easy to find those kind of caliber pitchers anymore.
You know. So, you know, I know, like, Jake Arrieta can opt out, but I'm guessing after the elbow surgery, or the arm surgery, I don't know if it's elbow, I'm guessing after the surgery, he's not going to do that. So.
No, he's going to stay with Philadelphia. It's too bad that I guess that injury that he has is not one of those ones that would require Tommy John, it's something that should be relatively easy to do, and he should be ready for spring training next season, I think.
It looks like it, you know, while obviously any surgery is serious, it's not quite as bad as what it could have been.
Yeah, a lot of wear and tear on him. He had a couple of great years with the Cubs, and I don't think he's ever been that good with Philadelphia. He has a few good performances, but it, you know, the wear and tear of all those innings pitched and could be catching up to him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all, you know, I mean, like the year he had when he won the Cy Young, I mean, very few guys repeat that. You know, I mean, there's Clayton Kershaw and just about nobody else who's been able to repeat those years. I mean, you know, even Justin Verlander has had struggles trying to repeat those years.
Yeah, it's too bad because, well, of course he was a great addition to the Cubs when he came over from Baltimore, and certainly had a great couple of seasons, two or three seasons. But I think his best days are behind him now. Even if he comes back 100% healthy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he can still be a solid, you know, starting pitcher, you know, with the way today's game is. But, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, he's not gonna win another Cy Young. And, you know, who knows, maybe he'll throw another no.
You think that when he does come back, and I'm hoping that he comes back healthy, he'll be anything better than maybe a 10 to 12 win type pitcher anymore?
You know, in today's game, it's so hard to tell because of the way they handle these guys. You know, I mean, if he's allowed to go out there and pitch on a good team, there's no reason he can't win 15 to 18 games. But, you know, is he going to stay in ball games long enough to qualify for those wins?
Yeah, he does have a tendency to throw a lot of pitches over four, five innings, say, for example. Yeah, it's been his modus operandi. So I don't see him winning 15 to 18 anymore.
No, you know, again, you know, and that's how you can say it, you know, about a lot of these guys. I mean, who logs enough innings anymore to get a win? And I know that was part of the reason, you know, a lot of people are saying wins don't mean anything anymore just because – they don't, you know, pitchers don't go deep into games.
So what do you think they look for then in terms of a pitcher? They look for ERA more so than wins?
You know, there's some kind of, you know, sabermetric thing they have that they're all looking for. So, you know, that's just kind of how, you know, kind of how things go today. Everything is, you know, sabermetric based, and you listen to, you know, whatever those numbers are telling you. So,
what is more important than A, innings pitched in a season, and B, ERA?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the way I kind of look at it, with as weak as bullpens are in baseball today, I think I would prefer a starter who could go out and give me some innings. But, you know, obviously I'm in the minority there, because that's not the way the game is played anymore. So,
yeah. I'd love to see a pitcher, a starting pitcher, who can give you 7 innings.
Right.
7 innings.
You know, I
with an ERA of maybe 3.20, 3.30, and pitch deep into the games like that. Then that's the kind of pitcher you should be looking for.
You know, but like, you know, like now, you know, they complain, you know, the pitchers aren't, you know, God, you can't face the order 3 times, and. You know, they have all these, you know, the minute you hit 100 pitches, they want to take a guy out of the game. So, you know, it's.
You brought that up, but how long have they been charting how many pitches a pitcher does throw during the course of a game? Did they do that 10 years ago? 15 years ago, I don't remember them doing that.
You know, they've always charted pitches, but, you know, I don't believe pitch count came into vogue until we started seeing a lot of guys have Tommy John surgery, and then, you know, it became a big deal that guys were throwing so many pitches.
Right. And then you have to take into consideration two other things. The velocity of a pitcher, a fastball pitcher, I could see maybe 105 pitches get him out of the game. But what about a Greg Maddux pitcher who doesn't throw with that kind of velocity?
Yeah.
Can he throw 120?
So, yeah, I mean, you wonder. I mean, I would think a guy who throws more fastballs is better off than a guy who throws a bunch of breaking pitches.
That's true. Yeah. And, well, you probably know this more than I do. What's harder on the arm, a slider or a curveball?
You know, they always said the slider is.
Yeah, so.
So.
The curveball, it always seems to me the curveball can't be that easy on the arm either. Because there is one pitch that you don't see too often anymore, if at all, is a screwball. That had to be the hardest pitch on the arm is a screwball.
Oh, yeah. So.
But,
all right, well,
let's get to our pitch.
Well, let's get to our segment. We're getting close to running out of time here. I don't want to miss out on our segment. So you did end up with a down league week last week. You ended up 1-2, which doesn't happen too often. But you are 41-18 as we move along. So we jump into two series here. The Cubs are still on the road. They're wrapping up this road trip with 3 games in Pittsburgh. The scheduled starters are Hendricks tonight against Joe Musgrove, John Lester against Stephen Brault, and Jose Quintana against, I believe it's, is it Brad Keller, or does he pitch for the Royals? Maybe he's the Royals pitcher, but the Pirates pitcher's last name's Keller too. So, as always, you know, the first question, you know, do you have the Cubs sweeping and do you have them winning the series?
Well, definitely not sweeping. But I'm so down in this team right now, it's hard-pressed for me to even predict them to win 2 out of 3 against the Pirates. So I say they will not win the series against Pittsburgh.
All right. Then they're coming home. They get a day off. Tuesday, San Francisco comes to town. Now, the Giants only have the pitcher for the 3rd game. So the first 2 games, it's Cole Hamels against TBA. Game 2, it's Yu Darvish against TBA. But game three to wrap up the series has Kyle Hendricks against Jeff Samardzija. So like we always do, you know, you got him sweeping and you got him winning the series.
Well, coming back to Wrigley, I have him winning the series, but I don't have him sweeping.
All right, so.
I think one of those CBI guys would be too tough for them.
Yes, they might be, depending on who they are. So, and let's see what we can come up with for our little bonus question tonight. Oh, I'll do to you what I do to Bill. We'll play a little bit of over-under. Over-under for Kyle Hendricks for strikeouts tonight, let's say 5.5. You got him over or under?
Over.
All right. So there we go. We're all set. So, yeah, they wrapped this up, and then they got, looks like, 6 at home. After San Francisco, they're going to have a tough series with Washington. So.
Well, I'll go 2 out of 3 also against Washington.
You know, that could be interesting. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. What is it right now? Technically they're tied with St. Louis for the division, but St. Louis has their one game ahead in the loss column. Milwaukee wandered back in it here, kind of lucked into it a game behind. So we'll see if they can continue to hang around.
Should be interesting. I do have one question for you if we have time for this right before we wrap it. And assume the Cubs make it into the playoffs, and that's a big if right now. Who's going to be the starting pitcher in game one? Would they switch to Darvish?
Oh, no, it's John Lester. With Joe Maddon as the manager, it's John Lester. There's no doubt about it with this. So, you know, that's not even a question with them. That, you know, he's his guy, and he's going to go with him regardless, and we'll see.
Yeah. I go with Darvish 1 and Quintana 2, but what do I know?
My guess is, they'll probably do what they always do. It'll probably be, you know, Lester, then Darvish, then Quintana, and then Hendricks. So.
You're saying Hamels will be number 5?
Yeah, after last start, yeah. So let's see how he comes back. You never know with the way Joe Maddon plays things out. So,
yeah, I'm wondering if Hamels is 100% healthy. They never said anything about, since he came back, if he's okay. But those last two performances were certainly not Hamels-like, and he's been pretty consistent this season when he's healthy.
Yeah, well, he was out, he had an oblique, and, those things, they can take a little while to recover from. So, maybe he's not quite back in, what they would call game shape.
Yeah, he needs a turnaround performance the next time out, that's for sure.
Let's hope, he'll pitch one of the games against the Pirates, so hopefully he'll come up with something there.
He certainly needs to bounce back. And Lester does too. He hasn't been quite the Lester of old the last few times out either.
Thank you for being on the appreciated. Remember, the podcast is available. anytime you want over at